T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time to go inside the boardroom.
It probably is time. It's, you know why? I respect anybody that was on the Warriors beat during those years.
And take a seat at the conference table.
Guru's great too.
Welcome to the Executive Show.
Nothing easy!
On 95.7 The Game. Brought to you by Yellow Sack. Try a dumpster bag for easy waste removal. Less mess, reduced stress. Budget friendly, clean freely. Call 833-3YELLOW or go to yellowsack.com.
All right, Warriors President of Basketball Operations and General Manager joining us here on 95.7 The Game. John Dickinson in for Matt Steinmetz. Daryl the Guru Johnson here as always. Bob, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. How you doing this Wednesday?
Good. Three in a row. That's
yeah.
John, I should hire you. Is that the longest streak of the year?
No, you guys had five on that holiday homestand.
Yeah.
There you go.
And after that, though, we haven't done four. There's no four game. There's a five and there's a three.
Right.
And then the
big one is you haven't been two over 500. So
yeah,
bet more than two over 500. So two over 500, it's been losses, and not only losses, but usually multiple. Usually it's two or even three has been the pattern of that. So we'll see.
That's not making me feel great. Guru, what do you got? You got anything more optimistic?
Guru's got 20 and 0.
No, how about this, Bob? I got you one in the chip. Yeah, how
okay.
about that?
Yes.
Back to back.
I'm going to talk to Guru, John. You can just relax.
Well, now I know I'm doing my steiny. The one thing I can guarantee you today, Bob, no questions about your contract status today.
There you go. There you go. Appreciate it.
Bob, you guys did release the injury update on Curry, so I guess we'll start there. Making progress. I know it had been reported he scrimmaged with Santa Cruz. It looks like you guys confirmed the scrimmaging in what was released and said the return to play based on continued progress and full scrimmages and all of that after the last month. I know Woj had the report within the last 90 minutes or so before the team statement saying that there's optimism Steph can play on the road trip in L.A., OKC, and Memphis coming up beginning on Sunday. Can you confirm that? Is there optimism? Is some point on that three-game road trip on the table here for Steph's return?
I mean, that's the hope, John. I think the reason why we can't give you more definitive information is that it is kind of predicated on how he feels. Can he get up to the workload? He's just started kind of some live stuff, two-on-two, three-on-three stuff, where he's getting out there and trying to feel contact again, get comfortable. He's been doing non-contact stuff for a while. But in these things, there isn't I know that it's assumed many times that we have an answer, and we don't give it. More often than not, it's we have to see, and each day evolves differently. How he feels after a big load day, we don't know how he comes in the next day. Even when I press our guys and say, when's Curry coming back? The smart and real answer is I got to see how he feels tomorrow. I got to see how he feels the next day. And so hopefully he is. That'd be great. But also, we certainly don't want him coming back, John, and then he's not ready. I mean, that would be a big mistake. So we want him back, and we want to keep him back. And so we want to make sure when he does come back, he's ready and ready to play and help us win. We need to win these games, and we don't want him coming back where he's not fully ready to help.
Bob, just a quick follow-up on that. I wonder always what constitutes full practice and scrimmages when you guys aren't practicing today, you got a back-to-back, and then an afternoon game in L.A. with Saturday to travel in between. how would he, in theory, get the full practice and scrimmages, or what would that look like to even evaluate how he comes out of that? How do you get that done, I guess, in the climate of all these games?
So we played we had a practice. You know, you get lost in this whole thing. Like
Monday.
Monday. We practiced. So he was doing stuff on Monday. The issue is that finding a full go scrimmage is hard, but there was guys that don't play as much on our team. We have coaches that can still get up and down and do things. And there's forms of contact where kind of you're out there with a bag, or there's coaches kind of mimicking defense. So it's a loose term. I don't know if I can define it clearly what it is. There's certain times of year where you are afforded more time because the calendar lines up. But at this point in the season, somebody told me we only have 5 practices left, which I haven't looked at based on our schedule. I don't know if that's accurate, but what the misconception of the NBA is, there's not a lot of practice time because there's 82 games, and more now than ever, there's a lot of load management. I know people hate that term, but it happens within the building too, where the numbers, the scientific data will say, look, this guy's running hot. He shouldn't go today. So it's not just we don't want people to play as much as it is there's numbers, there's science saying this guy's burnt, and for whatever reason. And that's kind of what we deal with in the building, not just fans see it in the games, and I know nobody likes it. And trust me, we wish all our guys were playing just as much as they do because we want to win. But we got to listen to the health component of it.
Bob, you always give us good stuff, man, and open up. And I'll never forget last year you said this to me, Bob. You didn't know what to expect from your team before the playoffs started. And lo and behold, you guys go and win it all. And last night, Coach Kerr, after the game, he had mentioned he feels like some chemistry and energy is forming. And I wanted to ask you, do you sense that as well? And can you make any parallels with last year at this time when you guys got kind of healthy and went on a run?
Steve and I talked about that last night as far as what's the difference between last year and this year. I obviously, the beginning couldn't have been more different. The antithesis of an 18-2 start was the start this year. Not great. But we did have, John can fill in the blanks, but we had moments where we were 500 for a big chunk of our last part of the season, the last third. And then I think we finished with a few wins to finish the season. But it was choppy. And that doesn't give you great confidence. Curry was out at the end of last season. But we had at least formed an identity defensively, Goo, last year, which we've struggled to form this year. And I think what Steve is alluding to is that resilience, where last night, what they put up 40 in the first quarter, and I think they put up 40 in the whole second half. And you watch your team in these moments and you evaluate how are they going to respond to a little adversity within a game. And watching that game last night, if you guys watched it, you'd see in the second quarter, there were times during this year where our team would let go of the rope, and that's just a fact. We'd be down, and then for whatever reason, we couldn't turn it. And lately, we've been able to turn it in our favor, whether it was Minnesota or last night against Portland, where we've been able to impose some kind of defensive will rather than just trying to outscore our opponent. And I think that's what Steve might be referring to, because what we have learned in the last 10, 12 years, even when I was here with Mark Jackson, is you have to have a defensive identity. And we've always had that. And Steve, I think, helped our offensive identity. But we had the defensive identity going back 12 years, 2012, 13, 14, you know, those years. We got to get that, and that's what we've struggled to grab this year. And if you look at the numbers show it. You watch the games, it shows it. But at least we're showing now a buckle-down mentality during the time of the game where we have to do that, and we've been able to do it. We got a big game tomorrow night. That's a big game against a good team, and then the next night a back-to-back against another opponent in the West. So this will... If we were talking on Saturday, and I think, John, you do your show, you'll have a good sample size. Now, it won't likely be anything with Curry in it, but it'll be a little bit more than you have had after these last three that we've just played.
Bob Myers joining us here on 95.7 The Game.
He knows your show, JD.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That's a good time, I think, if you're driving into the office to catch it on a Saturday. I know Raymond's been all over that in the past. He's always listening. You know, don't say this, say that. You know how all that goes. But are you Bob, buying, I guess, the follow to that for me would be not so much last year to this year, but the momentum – this year, you know, being different this time as opposed to, you know, this three-game winning streak versus, you know, earlier in the year even being shorthanded, is there something different knowing that it's the end of the season with 20 to go and you're getting healthy? And, oh, by the way, you look up at the standings, as you mentioned with the Clipper game, and you're fifth and you're right there with a shot even at fourth, the game back of Phoenix.
Man, I hope so, because I feel like we've been in this place a few times this year, and Lucy kind of pulled the football. So I got caught up in times where I thought, this is the time. We're going to go on a... There was a moment when we lost to that, I think, Brooklyn team. I thought, even though we lost to Boston, when we went to Cleveland and won that night after losing to Boston in overtime, I thought that was going to be the beginning of something. Because even though we lost that Boston game, we played well, and we should have won that game, and it was a symbol, I thought, of what we could be. And then we kicked that Brooklyn game. I mean, obviously they took it, but I've had moments where I've thought we were turning that, and this is another one. So I do think at some point we got to sustain some. And you mentioned the five-game winning streak, and that was pretty shorthanded, so I don't really put that in the same category as this. And this is shorthanded too, I suppose. But we're starting to figure out and be able to rely more on guys like Kuminga, guys like Lamb. Ty Jerome's been helpful. DiVincenzo's been fantastic. I mean, there was a moment last night where I tapped the guy next to me in the front office. I said, is Looney our best player?
Just, man.
I mean, obviously joking, but how great has he been? So we're getting some great play out of guys that are allowing us to do it without Curry and Wiggins, and it's been really timely.
Hey, Bob, thoughts and prayers to Andrew Wiggins and his family. You and I have family, so let me know if I'm doing too much. And I don't want to sound selfish, but I want to ask you, is there a scenario at all, and I'm sure, you know, a few in Dub Nation want to know, to where it's on the table that maybe Andrew doesn't get back?
I don't think so. Look, I don't want to speak on his personal life, and I know you don't either. I know you're not asking that. I don't think that's what anybody is planning for, but we'll leave that in his own place. But as far as, to answer your question the best I can, that's not the expectation. I think what you're asking is, could he remain out for a long, long time? I don't think that's happening, but I'm going to leave that alone. And hopefully when he gets back, whatever words he would like to say on it, which I don't think will be much because it's his private life, he will do. But you know, I understand in your business you have to ask these questions and it's your job. But I also got to respect, and I think you're saying the same thing, the privacy of what he's going through.
Bob, I want to go back to Looney because we were kicking this around on Monday.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you mentioned, is he the best player? We were just for fun kind of saying, who's the Warriors MVP this year? And, you know, Steph's missed time, obviously, but, and it was, you know, DiVincenzo's name came up, and then, you know, Looney's name came up. I thought, you know what? It might be Looney. Could Looney be the team MVP this year? Like, who would be your team MVP, Bob?
You know, when you say MVP, you want somebody that you can just count on every night. I can't sit here and say Looney's our best player, but I can say how great he's been this year and how much we've had to lean on him and how solid he's been and how much he's improved. He keeps improving every year. His finishing has been great this year. His rebounding is elite. It always has been. When guards switch on him, and I know you guys watch our games, I like watching opposing guards think they've got some kind of mismatch, and they don't. They just flat out don't, because he moves his feet well. He's got tremendous length. He's got tremendous wisdom. And he's going back to the times where Houston tried to do it in the playoffs with Harden. He just holds his ground, and he makes you take a tough shot. And it's trust, right? I think if you're talking about who we've been able to lean on and who's been healthy, he's been fantastic. He really has, and he deserves it, and he's had a kind of taken the tortoise route to where he's at. A lot of people want success immediately. Looney's had to grind it out every year. But he absolutely, I think, not that he didn't have before, the respect of his peers, the respect of his teammates has never been higher. And he's just been really good. And you're starting to see it in the box score. I mean, even the layperson now can see how well he's doing. I mean, it's just, you don't just walk into 15, 16 rebounds, and they're traffic, and he's gotten to the point now where he's got such good hands, and I think you guys both have played. When he touches the ball on the defensive side, he's securing those rebounds. He's getting those. He's not losing those balls, and that's a skill too.
Bob, I know you called me, one of my traits is I'm emotional, and sometimes it hurts you, you know, because I want to live as long as I can. But it's amazing. Last time we had you on the show, you guys were at 10th, and, you know, there were some question marks. Now you're 5th, and I know, you know, the job's not done. But Klay Thompson, we've talked about his metamorphosis with his shot, and I'm happy for him. But when Dre went out, I noticed a different Klay. He's being vocal, and yep. You've known him since he's come into the league. Bob, my question is, do you think he's enjoying that aspect of it, the vocal role?
Well, yeah, and beyond his leadership. You know, he's had to step up in Curry's absence and in Draymond's missing games and some Wiggins. What I've loved about Klay since January has he's kind of put the team on his back in some respects. In games where Klay has won us the game, I mean, he's basically said, "I'm going to win this game for this team," and just his, you know, he's not the most demonstrative guy, but now he's gesturing to the crowd and he's slapping his teammates, and you can feel his will when you're at the games. You can feel him willing us in certain ways, and I think for a little bit in this season, he was trying to find his own way, and just had to focus on himself. And now that he's found himself and is confident in what he's doing individually, he's sharing that with the team now. And it's the best version of Klay in the last few months as a teammate, as a leader. He's playing great himself. You look at him rebounding better. He's in the mix. He's just doing a lot of good things. But mostly what I see, I sit a few rows behind the bench, is the leadership part. And just even last night, in the fourth quarter, I think he checked in with like 9 minutes to go. I said to the guy next to me, I go, we got to hold this until Klay gets back in. You know, and he came in, and I mean, you guys watch the games. I know you see it, but it's just fun to watch him succeed.
No, it really is, and I also think it's interesting because of just the way the roster was built going back through the years. It was Steph and Klay, but it's obviously, you know, they're grouped together, but it's Steph's the one, and then Durant comes in, and Klay, you could make a case in the pecking order, becomes the three, probably the best three in the NBA, obviously, at that point in terms of pecking order. But there haven't been, and correct me if I'm wrong here, there haven't been stretches where it's been just Klay because everybody's out or he's been out, and where he is the lead dog. And what we've seen in some of these games is Klay as the one can go win some games, which I think is something we just haven't. We've seen a lot of different iterations of this team do a lot of special things, but that we really haven't seen even going back to the years where you guys were winning it every year in the mix.
Yeah, he'll joke around and say, I got to go back to the Washington State, Klay Thompson. When he got to be the high-usage guy running pick and rolls and getting to take more dribbles. I mean, people joke how efficient he is without the dribbles, but last night if you watched, one thing I liked, he was getting the paint. He was getting to the paint. He was getting to a spot. He was under control. He was finishing around the rim. He's getting more confident in attacking the basket. And once he has that, I mean, he's pretty unstoppable because the space he needs to shoot is so small. You have to get up on him to such a degree. But last night, his patience, his handle, he's got that stuff. But when you're playing with Curry and Durant, you're obviously going to have to defer. These are two of the best scores in the history of the NBA. I mean, in the top, as far as just flat out scoring, those two guys are probably in the top five ever of NBA players. And you're playing with them. Of course, you're not going to say, "Well, I want to dribble 20 times and I want to take my turn." But he's capable. And you're right. It's nice to see him in these moments become that lead horse for us, and he's been really good.
Bob, we always keep it real. That's my goal every time you and I chop it up, and I told JD this before you hopped on. I have criticized Draymond Green a million times in my radio career, but it was all out of love, and it was like, don't do that to your teammate. Don't say that to your coach. Everything that I thought I knew he was saying. So I come in and I'll tell Stoney, I wouldn't do that to you, but I never once was blinded to his dogness. I call him a junkyard dog, and last night it was on display. He was talking to some Blazers or Blazer right before halftime, and I said, oh my gosh, they're poking the bear. Can you speak to just how rare Draymond Green is, the intensity? Because, Bob, I'm looking at every team in the league. There's not another Draymond Green. There's just not.
Yeah, you're not. You see what you see from a distance, which is a respect for the competitiveness, for the for the approach, for the leadership, for the winning. I mean, look, I'm not going to excuse all the things he's done. Some of it is inexcusable. But I will say that he would be the first to say he's not perfect and he's made mistakes, absolutely. But as far as winning and as far as knowing how to win and as far as competing, it's a rare person that has those traits as much as he does. Mm. I think the challenge for people like that, that live that hard, is sometimes you tip over and you go across the line. But you can't be him without risking that, you know, and so that's his internal challenge. That's why he's now sitting at technicals on the line. Like, that's, but are you too surprised that he's sitting there with, I mean, nobody would have been surprised. This is what he does.
He's mastered it, not going over the line.
This is the greatest test yet. The greatest test he's had yet, I think. This is the farthest he's had to go.
But he's in it now. So let's see. Let's see the discipline. He would say, I know what I'm doing. And we'll, you know, I don't know how many games it's been since he got the final one he could get. But let's see if he can maintain that composure. And hopefully he can. But, you know, look, you played sports. He's the guy, I'll tell you what.
Bob, still playing. Still playing, Bob.
All right. Where do you play at the 20-pro?
Yes, sir.
In the Yune. 24-hour in the Yune.
Okay. Yeah. In the Yune. All right. So, you know the guys you play with. When you get to pick teams, here's how you would look at him. You'd go, you'd probably pick him first. And you know why? You would look and you go, I don't want to deal with that guy on the other team. I need him on my team. I don't want to deal with him. Because you know the effort level and the desire is going to be so strong, he can carry you on the days where you don't have it. And when you don't have it and you play against people like this, they crush you. They sense it. They smell it out. They sense it and they just come after you. And so he's got this ability. He's won everywhere. He's going to keep winning. I don't think he knows how to lose. And when you win as much as he has, that's all you know. It's like playing hard. If all you do is play hard, you don't know how to not play hard. And if all you do is not play hard, you know how to play hard. So he's a unique guy. Obviously, he's been tremendous for the organization and done a lot of great things. And he's playing well. He's having a good year. And I hope we can get healthy as a team. And to answer what I think this team can do, same as last year, let's go to the playoffs healthy. And whatever happens, you accept it, good or bad. And I hope we get a chance to just be fully healthy. And I hope, honestly, every team does. That's why the playoffs are so great. You find out it's 7 games. Last year, I mean, it was interesting. People said, oh, you know, you guys, you know, maybe shouldn't have won it or this or that. And I hear that, too. And even if I'm being completely honest, I did not exactly expect that outcome. I mean, there's years where I thought it was going to happen. But I could also push back on that and say not one series was 7 games. So how bad was, I mean, not one series went 7 games. And you go, oh, the Warriors got a little, no, no. You don't get, when you don't even get pushed to 7 games, you say, oh, you played this team. It's not our fault who we play. But not one series to go 7 games tells you that was a pretty good run to the championship. So I don't know what will happen this year. Hopefully we stay healthy and we get a chance at it again.
Bob, I love it. And speaking of playing, you know, everything's on the internet. There's a video, Bob. Are you got anything to tell JD and I and the listeners? You warm it up, get loose.
I tried to jog. I mean, it's pretty. It's not.
You look good,
Bob. If people are watching that, I really am worried.
Be worried. Like
if there was nothing on, I would watch nothing. I'd watch like the old, when they used, the TV used to go dark. They'd play the anthem, anything else but that. So no, I'm not,
okay.
Journey
just
continues.
Checking. Yeah.
When I get healthy and I can play basketball, I will come play with, in wherever you're playing.
Bob, I will not let you forget that. It's noted. Okay, let's do it.
All right. But I'm not healthy. So.
Bob, I used to be Eddie Jones.
He's ramping up.
I'm more Mahorn now.
Yeah. I told somebody asked me the other day, maybe it was after that, they said, you're getting close? I said, yeah, yeah. And Ritter walked by, and I go, put down year to year.
Year to year.
Not day to day. I mean, we'll have an update in 2024 January. Whatever.
Sounds good. Bob,
thanks, man.
Great stuff, man. We really appreciate it, as always. And we'll talk to you again soon. And Steiny will be back to ask you about that contract in 2 weeks.
Yeah, sounds good. Looking forward to that, too. All right, guys.
All right. Later. All right. Bob Myers joining us here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.